Okay, we'll start if somebody, we told them 10 o'clock, so help people notice the time change, right? Hoping people picked up the time change. Okay, so there's a medrash at the beginning of this week's parsha, which is a little bit fascinating medrash. So the parsha starts with Yikra al Moshe. Now, if we discussed this once, that really, Vayikra is clearly a continuation of the parshiyos beforehand. The Mishkan was built. The last pasuk in Parshas Pekudei says that the Kvod Hashem Maleis HaMishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to come into the Mishkan. And then Vayikra Moshe, the Rosham called Moshe Me'omei Lemor. The Rosham called him in, as it were, into the Mishkan to allow him to enter, and the Rosham spoke to him. So we spoke once about the idea, really, the division of the Svarim is really fascinating. We would have figured that after you leave Mitzrayim, Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of Geula, you leave Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah, that's the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Parshas Mishpatim, which is really, like Rashi says, Ve'ela Mishpatim, it's a continuation of Matan Torah. And then the Parsha Mishpatim, you have more details about Matan Torah. And then the Mishkan is a whole new concept, which really Sefer Vayikra is about the Mishkan and the Karbonos. So let Sefer Shmos end after the end of Mishpatim. And the next Sefer, which is Taras Kahanim, will start with the Mishkan, the Parshas of the Mishkan. That would have been a logical thing. Alternatively, if you, whatever reason, we're putting the Mishkan together in Sefer Shmos, we could imagine that the Kabbalas, which are obviously a primary element, hello, Rosai, that so Kabbalas would belong with that. So really, the Kabbalas is Parshas Vayikra and Sav. And then the other lachos are not Karbonos anymore. There's other lachos, Vatum and Tahara, etc. Maybe beginning of Shemini. So the division of Vayikra being a new Sefer is really a fascinating place to divide it. So that we discussed about once, that the idea that the concept of Geula is not just leaving Mitzrayim, it's not freedom, it's a relationship. Entering into a relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu, we spoke about the rehearsed beginning of Parshas Va'era, speaks about the idea that a goyel is referred to in the Torah by in Parshas Behar, is the goyel is the relative who comes and stands up and redeems the field. He's taking care of his relative. So the goyel is the person who's taking care of you. So that's the Mishkan, like the Ramban says, we went back to the relationship like we had at the time of the Ovis. We had this wonderful relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu. That's completed with the Mishkan. Okay, so the Mishkan is completed. The Shekhinah comes to the Mishkan. That's the last pasuk in Parshas Pekudei. So that's really the highlight of Sefer Shmos. All of Sefer Shmos is to get to that pasuk. The Ramban says that the Baruch Hashem's presence is existing on an ongoing basis amongst Klal Yisrael. That's the final goal. And now we stop and say, okay, now let's go. Let's Moshe Rabbeinu has to be called into the Mishkan. So the Medrash says that Misha ein lo deya nevela toiva himeno. A person doesn't have das, right? Which is the meat of das. I'll try to explain what that is. Even a nevela is better than him. So Moshe, which is the gadol of the Nevi'im, did not go into the Mishkan until he was called. That's the Medrash. So we see that the Maila of Moshe Rabbeinu was that you can't go into the Mishkan like this. You need to be called in. So why, Taka, do you need to be called in to the Mishkan? Why was it? Why and why is that in the Kud of Das? And why? Maybe we'll explain a little bit why the Nevela is like, if you don't have Das, you're worse than a Nevela. Like, that's pretty. Now, there's every once in a while you get a line, the guy doesn't have any Das. See, basically, you just said about the guy, you just say, I'm not saying such a bad thing about him. You're saying he's worse than an Avela. So it's a pretty good insult. If you want to get a good insult without realizing, Feltachandas. Feltachandas means you Feltachandas. You know, like you're really messed up. Okay. So what's the pshat? Vayikra Moshe, we find other places that Bereshim called to Moshe. You find by the Sneh that Vayarashem Kisar Leroyz, Vayikra Elova, the Bereshim Elokim, the Bereshim called him. That's one place. You find that Moshe Allah Elokim, Parsha Yisroy, Vayikra Elova Hashem in Ahar. And you find over here, Yikra al Moshe. So three times you find the Bereshim called to Moshe. There's a kriya, he called to Moshe. I'm going to say this a little homiletically, so if for those of you who want, you know, Dafka Pshat, I'm going to apologize up front, but, you know, it's been a long day, so you got to be Michael me a little bit. Like, when the Bereshim calls to you, you meet this guy, I had the voice of God called to me, right? It means you're being, right? Come on, you can picture that, a certain tone of voice, right? The guy, you look at him like, he just had, the voice of God called to him, right? A calling means that the Bereshim is directing me that I have a reason to do something. The purpose of the Geula, we spoke about this way back when, and Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and says that, I'm coming to beguile you. How do you know that I'm saying the truth? Because Pekoyed Pekadati. So the problem, which everybody says, because Yosef said, Pekoyed Yivkar Elokim Eschem, so that's the simon. So everybody grapples like, what grace the simon? I mean, everybody knew about it. So the Ramban says, the only person in Christ who didn't know about it was Moshe, because he grew up in the base parah. So he didn't know, everybody else grew up in their, with their mother and with their mother's milk. They hear the stories. One day there's going to be this great rabbi who's going to come, say, Pekoyed Pekadati, and we're going to go free. The only person who didn't get to hear those stories was Moshe Rabbeinu in base parah. It's the fact that he should know, and it's a raya. Okay, maybe, Rabban says, I'm not going to argue with it. Rav Hirsch says, you got it all wrong. Pekida, the lashon of Pekida is a unique lashon of Geula. Pekida means, I'm going to give you a purpose. Like by a person who is appointed to a position is called, he's Pekidim. By Yavkedim Melech Pekidim, they were pakud on this purpose. I mean, they were appointed to oversee something. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael, the girl comes to Klal Yisrael, whoever he is, and says, you know what? I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim to give you a purpose. I mean, how can you say that? That the Bereshim is going to give you a purpose. If the Bereshim didn't speak to you and say what that is, and, the Jews are stubborn people, yeah, prove it. What's the purpose? I'm taking you free. Okay, everybody can say I'm taking you free. I can promise I'll take you free. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But how do I promise you that I'm going to get the Bereshim to speak to you and give you a purpose? So kriya to the person is when the Bereshim is calling, you have a calling. We have such a word in English. The person has a calling. It means he hears a voice speaking to him and saying, the voice is calling to him and saying, do X. So Moshe Rabbeinu says that the Geula, Rav Hirsch explained, is the idea of a relationship. But the purpose of relationship is to give us a purpose. It's not just we can sit and hold hands and feel good with each other. That's one type of relationship. Relationship of the mentor and the protector and the one who's being protected, which the lashon of the goyel was the relative who protected you, took care of you. That's not the final goal. The final goal is not a geula, but a geula which is a pekida, that you're called for a purpose. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time already he meets a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Bereshim calls to him. He's called to the Sneh, he's given a job. The Moshe Rabbeinu was called up to the Har to give Torah to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is now called again into the El Moed to give Torah to Klal Yisrael. But this is the culmination of the process of the Shekhinah existing in Klal Yisrael. What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that isn't that we should be proud that we have the Shekhinah, feel close to Hashem. It's that there's a reason, there's a purpose which we need to accept that purpose. So, I think if that's true, the concept of Karbonus takes on a whole different flavor. Right? Whereas Karbonus, we understand the notion of crave or becoming close. Right? It's Karbonus are the vehicle which Dafka, there's a kriya to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell him that I'm going to now give to message to Klal Yisrael that you can be close to me. There's korban, lashon karev, of coming close. There's a vehicle, the human being can come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what's that vehicle? I think I read to you last year a piece from the Shari Avodah from the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah has a sefer besides Shari Tshuva, which is, he's famous for, and his Pirush and Masechtas Brachos, etc. He has a sefer called Shari Avodah. In Shari Avodah, he talks about the Avodah's Kribonah, talks about Avodah's Tefillah, Avodah's Kribonah, etc. But he says a fascinating thing. He says the reason why animals are used for a korban is because animals are very similar to human beings. They have feelings, they have emotions, and human beings feel close to them. See, here I feel, here's something which I feel extraordinary, I care about tremendously. It's wrenching to add the word to bring it as a korban. So what am I doing? I'm saying that life is not, it doesn't have a value unless you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't give up my own life, that I'm not allowed to do. So Baruch Hu, allow me to take the thing which is most close to me in life, which we are still allowed to take its life. And it, even though I feel close to it and I feel, and I'm taking that and I'm giving it over to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what I'm saying is I don't see life having a value and a purpose other than being connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm discussing purpose in life. So Sefer Vayikra, out of all of the Svarim, is the Sefer which we move into the Baruch Hu, but now is giving us directives of how to find purpose in life. You're going to be willing to sacrifice. Even the English word sacrifice, which Rehersh says he hates the word sacrifice, because that's not the point. Sacrifice is, you know, when you give something to your wife, it's like, well, that was a sacrifice. That's a craver. That's a closeness. But the point is, it's something I'm willing to give my wife, something of extremely significant value, because I want that closeness. I'm willing to spend something of great value to me to accomplish that. So in that sense, there's an element, I'm giving up something for something of greater value. So I'm stating value, closeness, this element of sacrifice, which means I'm giving away, I'm willing to give up something. What are we willing to give up in order to have that closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu? So the korban represents the idea of giving up the greatest thing, that life. We're willing to give up life to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not that we don't care about the animal life. I don't know, but he says that you want to hug and kiss your animal before you kill it. Because in a certain sense, it means you want to feel that wrenching feeling of life is being given away for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the relationship which we have with Kadosh Baruch Hu, you understand what it is. It's when the Russian, but there's the next step, which we're saying we want to add is the following. The Kuzari says that the parshiyos of building the Mishkan are extraordinarily detailed. So in the conversation between him, the king of the Kuzarim, and the Chavar, the Talmud Chacham, he says, like, why? He says, well, what do you think? Human beings can figure out how to come close to God? Right? I think you come close to God, but if you stand in the middle of the street, and you take off your shirt and you beat your chest and you go bump 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 bump, bump, I feel close to God. I make up my own way to close. Like, why do you think God's going to agree with that? Well, I really feel close. I feel so close to God by doing it. I just feel like so spiritual. I mean, what does that mean? How can a human being decide how to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu? The version says the only way you can come close to me is if you listen to me. The nekudah of das in a relationship is to really understand the other party. We spoke about this idea of das multiple times. Right? The das is that I truly connect and I understand the other party. The same way that's true with human beings, it has to be true with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's so much fake news, you know, that's the word nowadays, misinformation, right? Of what it means to be close to God. Right? How do you feel spiritual? How do you feel connected? But it's all based on one thing. It's human being based. A person, the motion which we gave, like the husband, you know, has a little bit of a spat with his wife and he wants to make up with his wife. So he goes out to the store and he buys her chocolates. And he buys an expensive box of chocolates and he really spends money on it, etc. And he writes a nice note and comes home and he gives his wife chocolates. Beautiful thing, right? His wife doesn't like chocolates. But she understands the thought behind it, etc. She appreciates it very much, etc. She says, thank you so much. A few months later, they have the same thing again. Invite the advisor chocolates. Right? After the third time, she's going to get very upset. Right? Well, it's a thought of the, it counts. But it's a thought that counts if you understand that there's another party over here that you want to really understand them and connect them and care about them. So if it's, I just want to feel high and feel good, it's all about me. The person says, but what about my side? What about me? You know, like, you know, there's two parties in this relationship. Hello? You know, it's not just about you. Feeling spiritual, you know, feeling close. It's about that. What does the person want in this relationship? What is he getting out of this relationship? Right? So if you take the time to get to know what your wife likes and then you buy it for her, she's going to be happy. Then there's a need of das. You've connected, truly connected to the other party. Then you understand them. You are really connecting to them because you get them. That's das. You understand them. Vayeda Adam, he knew her. He really knew who she was and what she was. When the human being says, I want to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm going to do it, what makes me feel close, he's lacking das. What do you mean he's lacking das? He's a very intelligent person, but he's not getting a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not understanding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not understanding what a Kadosh Baruch Hu was calling to him. Vayikra Moshe means Moshe says, I cannot go into the Mishkan, the place where the Shekhinah is, until I know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Not what I want to do. I want to go into the Mishkan. Of course I do. I want to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Shekhinah is there. I want to run in. But who said that he's ready for me? That he wants me. What? Or how does he want me to connect to him? What does he want me to do that? Right? The husband, like you'll have a conversation where, you know, let's say they get, the two parties get upset. Use a emotional husband or wife, right? Two parties get upset. One of the parties doesn't want to talk about it right now. They're not emotionally ready to talk about that. The other party says, but I need, for my emotional health, to get this out of my mind. So I want to talk about it. So you force yourself on the other person. That's not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse. Because what you're saying is, I don't care about you, what your feelings are. I just care about what I want. Right? So I feel a need to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I'm going to run into the Mishkan. The Mishkan says, slow down. That's not the relationship over here. The relationship is that I'm going to give you a purpose and a calling, and that's how you're going to come close to me. Then you understand what I want in the relationship. So there has to be a kriya. There has to be a kriya before you go in. You cannot go on your own. There has to be, the Baruch Hashem is giving us a purpose, not that we're figuring out how we come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu on our own. So Vayikra Moshe is what introduces the Parsha of Karbonos. So I think maybe there's a significant point over here. This is a big discussion between the Rishonim about Karbonos. But Azara is also about Karbonos. But all of Azara, scaringly enough, is really about the human being, not about the Azara. I want to feel that there's a bigger power taking care of me. I realize that there's certain ways that I can get him to care about me, and I'm going to bring the sacrifices to make him care about me. So the bottom line is about me. He said, no, I just love it. I'm just going to give away. But what's the bottom? The real motivation is that human beings want to have a connection. They want to manipulate. They want to control the world through making sure the gods, you know, do what they want. When you appease the gods, everything's going to be wonderful. We're about to start the parasha of Karbonos. But Israel also has Karbonos. We need to understand that our relation to Karbonos is totally different than the relation of Karbonos of the Avodah Zarah. So the parasha of Vayikra has to be the introduction to the parasha of Karbonos, has to be introduced with Vayikra El Moshe. So if it's the human being running to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's called Enlodeya. So Nevela Tavai Meno, the Rotel Katz one time said along these lines, but the way I'm saying it, what you're going to end up with a korban, the korban can either be a vehicle of true connection to you and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, or it's a dead animal. It didn't accomplish that, so what is it? It's a dead animal, it's a nevela. So the Mishen Ledega, the Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't have what it's supposed to be, so what did he accomplish? He made an animal dead. The animal says, I had more right to live than you did. Who gave you a right to kill me? So the animal who had a right to live is better than he is, in that sense. You have no right to use the animal take the animal because you want to be close to God. That's not that what the person says. I did not give you animals for that purpose. I gave you animals for the purpose that you should understand that you have to dedicate your life to me. And you have to give your life to me. And the animal is a vehicle of giving your life to me. That's the vehicle, what the animal is for. Then it's called das. Then you're getting what I want in the relationship. You're coming from my vantage point. Then you have a right to kill the animal. But if you're coming from what you want, you're walking in because you want to be connected. So it's called enlodeya. So then who gave you the right to kill the animal? The animal has more right to live than you do in a certain sense. You have the right to kill it. So I think one of the, you know, I'm sure Ari can grapple with this issue. You have what the question you get with the Kabbalah students about Karbonis is one of the questions that they grapple with, you know, the idea of killing animals, etc. You know, how do you deal with it? So if they're willing to think enough to listen to this thought process, I think there's a lot of a thought process over here. It's supposed to be a significant process of feeling that I'm committing everything that I have in my life, the most dearest thing that I have in my life, which represents my life in a certain sense, I'm giving over to my Creator. It's saying, I'm here for you. So that's the first thought. Okay, thought number one. Thought number two, and the three Vayikras, so you have Vayikra over here, Vayikra by Har Sinai, and Vayikra by the Sneh. So the Nesiv HaShalom has a beautiful thought. He says, if you look at the three places, in Parsha Yisro it says, Moshe Ola Elokim, Vayikra Elav Hashem in Ahar. Moshe Rabbeinu came close. Moshe Ola Elokim, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Har. Rishon calls it. So in that Chazal say, "Abol Atar Messiah," I say, "If you want to come close, Rishon, I'll pull you in." Vayar Hashem Kisar LeRois, Vayikra Lo Hashem means he wasn't reaching up, but he was trying to understand what's happening over here. And then there's a Vayikra Al Moshe, which it's written with the Aleph Zira. So Rashi says Moshe Rabbeinu was feeling humbled that he was scared to go in. He felt he was too small to deserve to go in. So three ways where you can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are moments of being uplifted. You're feeling this hisurus, you want to connect. The Bereshim recognizes that's what your desire is. I will respect that and help you connect. There are moments of feeling humbled and small. And the Bereshim says, well, if you humble yourself and remove your gaiva, then the Bereshim, you're letting the Kadosh Baruch Hu in. And then there are moments of that when a person is trying to understand what's going on in the being misbounded in the Bria, in the beauty of the Bria, in the greatness of the Bria, the godless of Bria, he's being misbounded in what's happening in the world. He sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Bereshim, as it were, speaks to him through that. So there are three kriyas to the human being. So that's the thought that he says, which I mean, the thought in itself is beautiful. Again, so there are three kriyas, the three times where the Rosh Hashanah calls to us. The Rosh Hashanah calls to us as the word means burn in the Bria. We see the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We understand that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the snap burning. What's going on over here? What's this beautiful thing which is taking place? This miraculous thing which is taking place. What does it mean to see the stars? What does it mean to see the ants? What does it mean to see all these things? The greatness which is inherent in that. That's one kriya to the person. The Russian calls us through that. There's a kriya where the person feels so, I'm so unworthy. What am I compared to Kadosh Baruch Hu? I feel so small. I'm limited. I don't have the ability. The Russian says, because you recognize that human beings are limited and you're not the Balgaiva, you've allowed Kadosh Baruch Hu to be the master. The Bereshim connects through us to that. And there are moments where the Zohar refers to as Isarus de la Sata. The person gets Imisarur. He feels excited. He wants to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Bereshim respects that, allows us to connect through that. But what's fascinating is each one what role it played. So the first one was the Hisbarinus and the Bria. The Moshe Rabbeinu saw the snare. That's what started the process. That's the beginning of the process of Moshe Rabbeinu being the Goyal. So he wasn't spiritual and uplifted, and he just, I see the Bria calls to me. The moment of Matan Torah, which is the apex of the Bria, Moshe Rabbeinu needed the lashon of the pasuk of the Rishonim. But ye believe of Darchi Hashem, he felt, yes, the Rishonim clearly has a role for me to play. I believe in my role. I'm reaching out to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rishonim, take me and let me do it. But the final process of getting all of the details is only when the human being humbles himself. When the human being allows. So if you would use the analogy to the marriage process, if you allow me to use that, right? So the person under, he's starting the shidduch, let's assume the shidduch process, okay, right? So he reads the resume and he hears about the person and he says, this person is a wonderful person. It's just what I think the person that I would want to be with, right? Then you start the process of meeting them, and there's this excitement, there's this connection, etc., what takes place, which allows a person to come to the moment. I feel so connected, I'm able to commit to marry them. But the ongoing day-to-day basis of really getting to know them is when you have to humble yourself. We have to recognize that there's more than one way to look at the world. It's not all about how you see things. It's if you're willing to hear a whole other way of looking at something, a whole other day, a whole other opinion, and you really want to understand where they're coming from and what's important to them, if you humble yourself, then you can really get to know them. So the three steps of the process are the Moshe Rabbeinu is mispoinen in the Bria. He sees that, yes, he sees a clarity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. He wants to connect through that. Then the Klai Yisrael is uplifted with an excitement, we're going to be Mekabel the Torah. And that's a tremendous moment of Kabbalah, but that alone doesn't last. It's the humility of who am I, what am I, what is Bershom saying? Not what do I want, but what are they saying? Understanding them, that's what's going to allow you to get all the details and have the day-to-day process of living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, day after day, etc. So that, I think, is maybe the three Vayikras is a muscle to the three steps of the process. I just finish off with, there's a beautiful stipler. The stipler says that the biggest impediment to Amunah, this letter from the stipler says, the biggest impediment to Amunah is Gaiva. When a person removes the Gaiva from his heart, you see the Rosham everywhere. You feel the Rosham's presence everywhere. Right? When the person is in a state where he thinks he knows and he's in control, so it's hard to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. One of my rabbis one time said that the in Parsha Shmini, the Mises Shnei Bnei Aaron, which actually they took place on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. I'll tell you interesting halacha based on that in a moment. So Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the Shnei Bnei Aaron were nifter. So this is the day of Chanukah's Mishkan. So the Medrash goes to 11 different reasons what they did wrong. They didn't marry. They wanted the Moshe Ben Aaron to be nifter. The Rosh Chodesh Nissan writes the Tzadah Shabbat in all the 11 reasons is element of Gaiva. There's an element of Gaiva in all of those reasons. So one of our Rebbeim, Shlomo Mendel Shlita, he once suggested a pshat, a cute pshat. He said like this. He said, the Mora says in Saita that the person who's about Gaiva, the person says, hu yachal elamechad. We can't live together. When you're about Gaiva, the person says, I can't live with you. So what happens? As it were, the person gives him his own space. He says, where you are, you be there without me. I can't live together with you, so I'll give you that space. There's one place in the world where the Russian says, I'm not moving. We can't be together, and I'm not moving. Is the Mishkan. So you go when they come to the Mishkan, with guy with the person says, I'm sorry, we can't live together, and I'm not leaving. Ever else, I'm willing to, I'll be in Bavater and let you have the spot, and I'm leaving. There's one spot where the Russian says, I'm not leaving. So they were nifter. That's what he said, like a cute way of saying it. But the way we're saying it, the whole point of Mishkan was the humility. Because the Mishkan is the idea of the day-to-day living together, which requires the humility. So to go into the Mishkan with not humility, with the opposite, is antithetical to the whole purpose of Mishkan. We're dealing with mamas, the day of Chanukah is a Mishkan. We can't accept that. That can't exist. Now, obviously, this was a tremendous madrega. You know, they were. You know, it was a dak shabadak. And one of the explanations we said was, what's the pshat? They ran it because they felt such a desire to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a bad thing. But what we're saying is, it's not a bad thing. But that's not the point. That's step number two. You need to be by step number three already to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, be the leaders of Klal Yisrael, to be the Kahanim. You need to be step number three. That's not about what you want, and you want to feel connected. It's about what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. So one of our rebbeim, I had the following conversation. I once saw in a one of the Rishonim who says a lashon that if a person on Shabbos feels a special feeling of Shabbos, it's a ride that he's a ben olam haba. And if not, it means not a ben olam haba. So, you know, of course, you read something like that, you know, and you're a good yeshiva man with the Baal Musar. So you say, I don't really feel so Shabbos-tick on Shabbos, you know, like, I don't really feel it so much. It's almost not a ben olam haba. Oyvei, who know what? You know, Rebbe, I'm going to Gehenna. You know, that's like the conversation. You know, so Rebbeim have to deal with these wonderful things. So I went to my Rebbe, and I asked him this question. I was probably married like 1 or 2 years. So this goes back around 1985. So he looks at me. He says, Rebbe Leo. He says, who said a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to serve him by feeling close to him? Maybe he wants to feel you to serve him when you don't feel close. You know, you're looking that I experience Shabbos, and Shabbos should be this uplifting spiritual experience, etc. And you feel so inspired, and feel so connected, and that's what Shabbos is. You want to get out of what you want. The person says, you know what? How about serving me, and being there for me, and keeping all the details of Shabbos, even when you don't feel like that. Maybe that's what your avoid is supposed to be right now. That's the line he said to me. It's a one-liner. It's like one of the things that stopped you dead in your tracks. You know, like, wow, I didn't think of that. You know, like, but that's what we're saying. That the not a view we're holding in step number two. We feel so inspired and so connected. We are gonna go in. But the bottom line, there's an element of we. It's about us. It's about I. Russia's Mishkan is not about that. It's about gut-wrenching, giving yourself away when you don't feel. But what are you doing for me, for the Baruch Shalom? How are you not worrying about yourself and your emotions, your feelings, but doing it for Kadosh Baruch Hu? When it doesn't feel easy and feel good and feel comfortable, it feels uncomfortable. What are you willing to do? So, I think what he was saying was that, like every we've spoken about the other, that every chazal has its place in time. There's a time where that's the correct response of how you're supposed to feel about Shabbos, and there's a time where you're supposed to say, "I'm going to do Shabbos no matter what." So, Lamashal, this, you know, when you makar people to Shabbos, you say Shabbos is wonderful, and you feel so uplifted, and you're so different, you know, right? And then there's the days of Shabbos. Okay, right. But there's a story which happened when Baruch Ber came to America fundraising. So he came with Reuven Grozovsky together. And one Shabbos, Reuven was missing. They didn't know really what happened to him. So it turned out that Reuven they were staying in a hotel. He went into the bathroom of the hotel and he shut the door in the bathroom and the light turned on. So this bathroom, the lights were attached to the door, which means he opens the door, the light turns off. So he stayed in the bathroom for 18 hours. It wasn't, he couldn't sleep because there was no room to really lay out. Not allowed to daven, not allowed to learn, didn't eat anything. Didn't do, it was like everything which you don't picture what Shabbos is. There's no learning, no davening, no eating, not even sleeping, just being cramped up in this place where you can't do anything for 18 hours. That's Shabbos. That's what it means. Klal Yisrael is giving ourselves over for Shabbos. There's going to be a Shabbos which is really difficult, really uncomfortable, really not easy, right? And you're giving over for the Baruch Shem's mitzvahs. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. That didn't necessarily feel uplifting and feel good, but that's when the human being is giving away his emotions and his feelings for Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the husband saying, you know, I don't necessarily feel good about this, but I know this is what my wife wants and what she feels. I'm willing to be mavatar on my emotions, that my wife should get out of it, what she wants to get out of it. And sometimes that's the right thing to do. So I think that's what my Rebbe was saying, that there's the times when it's not, I had a, you know, a gut-wrenching shaila. I got two shailas Arab Shabbos last week about somebody who was rushed to the hospital. Are they allowed to have, they allowed to call on Shabbos to see how the person's doing? Are they allowed to have a goy call for them? You know, what are they allowed to do, etc.? In one situation, the person was a medical personnel themselves, and they would be able to make informed medical decisions, and therefore I felt it was okay that they can be involved because they would have to make medical decisions, which that's part of pikuach nefesh. In one case, it's simply the person's emotional health. They want to know what was happening. So I said, you cannot do it directly. You have to do it ayin ayakum, and you cannot speak on the phone. And if they're not going to give any answer to the akum, because that's not really not a relative, I can't be mounted it. So this person for 24 hours was sitting on, you know, who knows what happened to their relative. That's Shabbos. Sometimes Shabbos is going to feel like that. Sometimes Shabbos is the most uplifting experience. And there's days of Shabbos which are going to be painful to the nth degree, but that's what Shemir Shabbos is. But the bottom line of a relationship is you've got to be willing to have those days also. If you only want the relationship because you're always going to feel good about it and feel geschmack about it, the bottom line is not about Kosh Baruch, it's about you. The version says that it's not really a relationship. The same way that's true in a relationship with a husband and a wife, then it's always about you. That you should always feel geschmack about the relationship. So it's not about your wife, about giving. It's about what you want. The version says that is not a sustainable relationship. That's a one-time thing. It's exciting. It's motivating. It's inspirational, etc. But that's not the day-to-day realities. So Nadav and Avihu, on the day of Chanukah and Mishkan, were so inspired. The Russian says, no, that's not what Mishkan is about. Mishkan is about the day when you're past inspiration. It's about the daily, hourly commitment to the Baruch Shalom, no matter what it is. So on that day, they were bad people. I don't know, but the guy over here doesn't mean they were balagaiva. It means there was an akuda where the focus was on, they felt so inspired that they wanted to connect. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did by Har Sinai. Yeah, that's Har Sinai. That's the chasna. That's the moment of when inspiration is. Nasa and Ishma, all those things, that's the moment of the chasna. You need that stuff. But the tug tackle, you can't rely on that anymore. You need to be able to build on the details, on the protein, and on the commitment, and even when it's not expiring, etc. So maybe I'm being a little bit too homiletical over here, but I think that's the three vayikras that he's talking about. Okay, how's everybody doing?